So when we talk about some real progress, we know that today more and more people are accessing treatment. Roughly 35 million people have died of HIV, but we know that more and more people are accessing the treatment that saves lives. Today, more than 18 million people globally are accessing treatment. That's a huge achievement, and we continue to see more and more people accessing treatment than ever before. Another huge success has been the number of children infected by mother-to-child transmission. We've been able to drive those rates by more than 50% downward. So real achievement about people accessing treatment and drastically reducing the number of children infected through the pregnancy and delivery and breastfeeding. So huge achievements there, and as a result, people are living longer. That said, we know that there are 38 million people living with HIV today. Less than half of those people are accessing treatment. We know that 20 million people need to start treatment today. We know that if we make the smart investments, the right investments, we can achieve this, but it means that we have to refocus our efforts. We have to fast-track our efforts and really intensify our work between now and 2020 if we're going to end AIDS by 2030. In some of our countries in Asia and the Pacific, we can see good progress. We have more than 2 million people on treatment, but we also know we have to re-intensify our prevention effort. In countries like Papua New Guinea, countries like Cambodia, more than 50% of the people living with HIV are women and girls. We know that we have to strengthen our sexual and reproductive health programs. We have to address programs that reach women and girls. We have to talk about gender-based violence. We need to integrate HIV into sexual and reproductive health and safe motherhood programs. And we need to continue the voice of the community in helping communities get tested, self-testing. We know that communities need help in accessing treatment, accessing prevention commodities like condoms. We know that prevention works, but we have to re-intensify our prevention efforts among those most at risk.
UNAIDS recently produced a report that looked at progress towards testing and treatment targets by 2020. PNG is one of the few countries in the Asia-Pacific region that has significantly more women than men living with HIV. Are there any particular approaches that need to be employed in PNG that wouldn't be elsewhere?
I think PNG highlights the challenge that many of us working in HIV prevention see is that we need gender equality. We need spaces where women and girls are safe, where they can access education and stay in high-quality schools, safe from violence and safe from harassment. Women need access to reproductive health commodities like condoms, and they need to be able to access treatment when they need it. The treatment for STI, sexually transmitted infections, treatment for hepatitis B, hepatitis C, access to HPV vaccine, and access to treatment for HIV. So in PNG, I think that, you know, we've got roughly 38,000 people living with HIV. More and more people are accessing treatment, but we also know that we've really got to address the gender dimensions. Make sure that women's voice are being heard and listened to as policies are developed, as programs are established, and as programs are evaluated. And I think maybe also PNG points out the need to reach out to women who are most left behind, women who are not benefiting from education, women who do not have economic opportunities, and women who are in abusive relationships where they are a threat to violence and harm by their male partners. So those are some of the unique things to PNG, but unfortunately, it's not unique to any one country. It's really a challenge for all of us in every country to make sure those who are most vulnerable are not being left behind.